Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Our TV program is shown all over the country, but we're coming to you from the state of Minnesota. And have you noticed in recent years, Minnesota is always in the news for the wrong reasons. We have one of the most liberal abortion laws in the country. You can get an abortion right up to the day of delivery in Minnesota. We pay for abortions with tax dollars in Minnesota. We have the policy that we are a safe state for children to come here to have sex change operations. We have now recreational marijuana in Minnesota, and I can smell it a lot more than I ever used to. We have banned help. If there's a teenager that wants help overcoming same-sex attraction, that's illegal now in Minnesota. And so put it all together, and this is quite a state. And even though you don't live in Minnesota, probably, you want to hear what we're talking about today, which is the topic, should Christians be involved in government? In fact, recently somebody said to me, you know, Tom, don't get too political on TV. And I agree, but I don't think talking about abortion and homosexuality and gay marriage and marijuana, I don't think that's just a political thing. That's a moral thing. I think pastors should talk out more on this stuff, not less. But so we brought in an expert to talk about this. I want to introduce you to former state senator Paul Gazelka. Hi, Paul.
Tom, good to be here.
And you have battled years and years on these very things, and those things that I just listed didn't get through until you left.
Correct.
Because now you're retired. But we're going to pick Paul's brain on all this stuff, but let's open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for Minnesota, the whole nation. We have just kind of lost our religion in America, and things that now our government promotes are just would have been anathema a few years ago. God, speak to us. What would you have us as Christians do to try to make a difference? And just heal our nation and use each one of us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Paul, before we start, I always like to ask our guest, how did you come to know Christ?
We talked briefly. I'm kind of like the Heinz 57.
Okay.
Raised Catholic, but really, when I was 15, I was at a Lutheran conference on the Holy Spirit. Really, I know then that my relationship with Jesus just came alive, being led by the Spirit came alive. And, you know, I've been to many different denominations since, and I just have, you know, anybody that trusts Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, that's my brother or sister. The rest of it, I'm not so much worried about.
Amen. Good for you. And so let's get into the topic, because you served in the Minnesota State Senate. Just a lot of questions for you. What's it like down there? Is there bitterness? What's the atmosphere like down there?
Well, you know, it's very intense because you're trying to either support abortion or support pro-life. All the different issues you talked about, people are on both sides of those. And I became leader of the Senate in 2017, and I said, I want to lower the tone. I just feel like this is not good. If we can't figure out how to respect each other, value each other, we're never going to get to anything good. And so, yes, it's very difficult, sometimes slimy, or it can be the most gratifying thing a person can do to be engaged as a leader in politics.
Have you ever seen anybody who was pro-abortion rights, pro-gay marriage, have you ever seen anybody turn around on that?
Not from 1 to 10, you know, okay. Black to white, but definitely, for example, we passed money to provide resources for a woman to have her baby, Positive Alternative Act. There were some that voted for that. You know, so there are some places that they will.
But now that's been undone.
Well, that was done after I left, after the other side
took
the majority.
Yeah, we pay for abortions in Minnesota with tax dollars, and we used to help pro-life clinics let the mother have the baby. That all that funding dried up under the Democratic leadership.
Yeah, our present governor, and they had the House and Senate, and they took it all away. As you mentioned, that why Christians should engage as leaders in government is because you can stop that. It, not just one person, but you build a majority of people that share those values, and we say we're not going to do that.
So I hear, you know, I don't like it when my pastor gets political. He should just preach Christ and not bring up politics. Part of me believes that, but part of me doesn't. So how would you answer the question, should a Christian be involved in politics?
Absolutely. It can be at different levels, but just go back to our very founding. A number of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were pastors. You know, many of the people that were involved in, as legislators were pastors. Mm-hmm. So if pastors are engaged, certainly the average, you know, person out on the streets that just doesn't have a collar but mm-hmm. just loves Jesus, absolutely engage, because if you don't, somebody else is going to fill that role, and mm-hmm. they may have a value system totally different from yours, and they're going to push that. That's what they're going to try to accomplish.
And with all the unrest in Minnesota, who's taking the lead promoting some of the unrest? Liberal clergy.
Liberal clergy and liberal political leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, most states don't have the problems that Minnesota has right now regarding ICE.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the same around the country, and if you push against the governing authority and you wonder why they're pushing back, I mean, it creates chaos. Yeah, creates tragedies that no side really wins from.
And the ELCA Lutheran clergy, about 10 of them, made a video supporting the unrest. Not one of them mentioned Romans 13 and the importance of obeying the law.
Yeah.
Not one of them. So you know, it's not just conservatives by any means that are trying to influence. Liberals in the church, too, are trying to influence policy. So I don't want to overdo it. I don't get in the pulpit and tell people who to vote for. But I do say vote pro-life, vote traditional marriage, vote against recreational marijuana, these kinds of things.
Yeah, and I think you can point to Scripture on some of those things. Why marriage is really between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. Why the nuclear family really matters. So you can use Scripture to help people understand an issue so that when somebody's trying to do something against it politically, you have the ability to stand up and say, no, we shouldn't go that way.
And are there people holding forth in government in Minnesota and then world nationwide who love the Lord?
Many.
Yeah.
Many, many. And you know,
just
I went
not
to,
winning right now.
Well, yeah, you know, and even some on the other side of the aisle for me, and sometimes that surprises me, to be honest. I was at a national prayer breakfast a few years ago, and there were some people from the other side of the aisle that were there, and I'm going, wait a minute, you, this is important to you as well?
Yeah.
But I do think it's really, and pastors can help here, igniting your people, especially if they're in politics, to really, that their faith drives how they do their job.
Okay.
Because that's going to affect the policies that they support.
Did you have, and you were the leader of the Senate, weren't mm-hmm. state Senate.
Yeah.
Did you have to compromise to get things passed?
Compromise is part of government. If you have two opposing sides, one side wants this, the other side wants that, you have to find something in the middle you both agree on. But you don't have to compromise your core values. I never compromised on life or marriage or religious freedom or not even raising taxes. But I spent more money than I wanted, because you have to figure out mm-hmm. what some things have to be compromised.
So how do you do that? How do you stand for Christ and what you believe and still have to compromise without, how does that work?
You know, in the church, that's an easy place to, you know, everybody supports what you're doing. But if you're in the business community or you're in government or wherever you are, your faith should not take a back seat. It should still be part of who you are, and therefore how the decisions you make and how you make them. And so I never felt threatened or that I should shrink back in who I am as a Christian. And so other political leaders would say, Gazelka's like a pastor or something, because I loved people, I was kind to people, I treated people right, I always told the truth, and they want, you know, so they didn't have to wonder where I was coming from, but that was just my core values of Jesus coming out into government.
So how do you speak publicly about your opposition? How do you do that without clobbering people?
Yeah, and because I always felt like I'm never going to say a slimy word about my opposition. I'm not going to use a nickname that's offensive.
Yep.
I don't need to do that.
No.
And as leader, you know, I was against Dayton and then Walls. And if I saw some, if they did something that was right, I wasn't afraid to say, hey, they did something right. And when I began to do it that way, they began to trust me more that I was actually seeking the good of Minnesota or over my party. And it was amazing what we could get done when you did that. And so I was, if I was really going to hit them hard, I might say leadership says rather than their name directly. If I had to say something that they really might rub them wrong, I might call them ahead of time and say, I'm calling you out on this. I just want to give you a heads up. So that value and respect that you give to people is currency that can work really well.
And I sure don't like it when conservatives use name calling.
Yeah.
And I mean, the verse that comes to mind is 1 Timothy. Timothy, correct your opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps lead them to repentance.
Yeah.
So if you call them names, that just doesn't help.
I think it's Ephesians 2 about let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I can do that in politics. I do it in business. I certainly do it in my home. People wonder. I say, look, it doesn't work in a marriage, strife and conflict. It doesn't work in business. Why do you think it works in government? It doesn't.
And here's the other question for you. I'm a conservative Lutheran, and I talk on this program a lot about the ELCA Lutherans, the PCUSA Presbyterians, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, the United Methodist Church. All of these churches tend to be pro-abortion rights, pro-gay marriage and all this stuff. How do you, as a man of faith, when you're down there trying to hold forth Christian values and you get clergy up there with collars on promoting abortion rights, what did you do when that kind of thing happened?
That would be the hardest thing for me, where if somebody's, I think they should be representing Jesus, but they're not representing Jesus, and they have the potential to lead people into a very dark place, and that caller or that person that holds himself out as a pastor, I really had a hard time with that. We would typically pray. We do an opening prayer. And if they said something that was just wrong, I might leave the room. I mean, I don't, you know, just because I don't want people to think I thought that was wonderful when I know it's not. And so I've always had a hard time with that.
And I was asked to come pray before the state senate. And when I told them, okay, I'll do it, but I always pray in Jesus' name, well, then you don't need to come.
Yeah, and that, you know, my side of the aisle, we said you can pray any way you want. If you want to pray in Jesus' name, you absolutely should feel free to do that. Mm-hmm. The other side, for whatever reason, Christians couldn't do that.
Yeah, but you can pray to Allah.
Yeah. No, it's without a doubt, it's frustrating. Yet we need to keep engaging. You know, for people to draw back is not the right way.
Right. There used to be, in Minnesota, a pretty good contingent which called itself Democrats for Life.
Yeah.
Are they extinct or whatever happened to them?
So I can't think of somebody that's in there right now that is. There may be one or whatever. And some they would have been more moderate Democrats, and they were removed, many of them, by their own party. And then those districts, if they were in a moderate district, were removed by people from my side of the aisle. So they're just kind of almost extinct.
Yeah. You know, Paul, this is the question. What do you think has to happen to turn America around? States like Minnesota, California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Colorado now. What's going to do it?
So 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I really do believe prayer is the bedrock of the moment. And then it is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Me. And sometimes that's run for office. Sometimes that's support somebody else. So that's part of it. And we need a move of God. There was a first great awakening that really was ushered in the founding of our country.
1700s.
The second great awakening, early 1800s. That was when John Quincy Adams was president, right in that time frame. And then he became a legislator after. and was influenced by that and advocated for freedom of slaves.
Yeah.
So it drove some of those changes.
Yeah.
So why not a third great awakening where people are hungering for God and his ways?
Yeah.
That is what can change it.
Yeah, and do you see it happening?
I do. I mean, if you think about the death of Charlie Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
And how many young people have suddenly just got involved in Turning Point USA. And that, you know, they're not perfect.
Right.
But the fact that they're hungry for following Jesus as young people, that is what we can stir
and,
our
And
our
there's
country.
Also been reports now, young men are getting interested in Christianity again.
Yeah. Like it hasn't been in a long, long time. And Charlie Kirk was a leader in that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I'm optimistic and sometimes not.
Well, we know in the end at the second coming of Christ we win, but and that's the other thing. I get frustrated on this stuff, and I have to pray, and I just, Lord help. How often did you feel like quitting?
I don't, well, when we were in the minority, I felt like quitting.
Yeah.
And my wife felt like I was going to, that we were going to take the majority and I was going to become the leader. It was really a spiritual impression that she was getting.
Uh-huh.
A number of times, months ahead of time, we'd been in the minority for, and I said, if we take the majority, I'm going to support David Hand because he's the minority leader and I'm going to support him. She said, well, maybe he doesn't want it. Well, sure, right before the election, I was at a Christian conference and I just remember praying, Lord, I'll go as high as you want me to go. I'll stay if you want me to stay. And sure enough, David Hand lost his seat, so he was no longer a senator. We won the majority by one vote and had no leader.
Oh.
And suddenly I became the leader. Well, had I quit, I never would have had that opportunity to become the leader. I was the tip of the spear, you know, standing against those that wanted to defund the police and conversion therapy and all the pro-abortion things that were put into our legislation after I left. All of those things I had a chance to stop.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm just very grateful, even though it was very difficult and a lot of pain, I wouldn't trade it.
No, and I'm glad you were there. God bless you for that. But once you left, it wasn't because of you, but once the Democrats got in total control, all that stuff got undone, did it not?
That's correct. And so what I tell people, I mean, it's, and this is true of the country too, we're close. It goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want Minnesota to turn around. I want it to be a shining state like it has been.
Uh-huh.
And we're close to that again. And so I'm hopeful.
And you know, it's Minneapolis-St. Paul, Rochester and Duluth, and the rest of the state.
Bright red.
So this is, you're right, it's kind of like, you know.
And more than bright red, because it's not just Republican.
Uh-huh.
To me, the kingdom of God is higher than the Republican Party. And many of those people are God-fearing, love Jesus, love their families, they love their country. And those are the kind of things we want for our citizens of Minnesota.
And you know, here's a friend of mine whose mother is very Catholic. She's died now, but Mom, you're Catholic, you're pro-life. Why do you keep voting for people that are pro-abortion? And it's just like, and I experienced that as a Lutheran too.
Yeah.
Some of the people in my church know better, but they vote pro-abortion or pro-gay. And how did you see that hand? I mean, do you ever see not leaders changing their mind, but did you see general population changing their mind?
Yeah. So in my district, it used to be 50-50. But those people you just described went from Democrat to Republican. So by the time I was done, I got 74% of the vote. I think it was 74.
Oh.
And many of those people that had voted one way because of life, because of marriage, because of family, and what the Republican Party believed about it, they did flip over. And so it has changed.
Yeah.
But you also have the other group of people that have chosen to be more liberal.
Right.
You know? So,
yes.
So suburbs.
Now, again, people are watching this program from all over the country, but Minnesota is always in the news because we're so radical.
Yeah.
Why? You'd think this state, upper Midwest, would be pretty traditional. Why are we like this?
We haven't elected a Republican for governor since Tim Pawlenty in 2006 was the last year
so
he
it's
served.
20 years.
So it's about 20 years. And so you have a growing population in Minneapolis and St. Paul that have a more liberal point of view. Well, now that's the biggest part of our state population, so they control the whole state. Having said that, it's still close, right? I mean, it still goes back and forth. And so that's where I'm hopeful. It only takes a few more people for the light bulb to come on that either they've never even voted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's many Christians that don't vote. Well, mm-hmm. if that's you, it's time to vote.
Right.
You know, time to, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do thing?
Yeah.
And we can change our culture. I mean, we can turn the dial, but in Minnesota, it will take a little while.
How did it get so liberal, do you think?
I think we've always been liberal, but liberal is become farther and farther left.
Yeah.
You know, so it's those that were liberal that John F. Kennedy would probably be Republicans
they'd be
today.
Conservative today.
Right. You know, and so that's where it's but I think ultimately we've drifted away from God. If you look at each generation moving forward, you know, since when I was born till now has drifted away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I went to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We really need an awakening that shapes everything, and that's a move of God. So I'm praying for a move of God.
And my opinion is what's wrong with America is not the government, it's the church.
Yeah.
When you've got those denominations I just listed officially being pro-abortion rights, having homosexually active pastors, promoting transgenderism to teenagers at the Lutheran Convention. I mean, that would have been unheard of when I was little. And how much did you see the church influence legislation in Minnesota?
So when I came there, I didn't feel like they were doing a very good job.
The church.
And so I really encourage people that represented the church, Minnesota Family Council, Missouri Synod of Lutherans, others, how to approach legislative leaders. Don't come in there telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Come in there and say, hey, can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? Because you have to build a relationship first to really be listened to. If somebody comes into my office blasting their agenda at me, it's kind of like, you know, speak to the hand.
I'm not,
you know, I might be respectful, but I've already closed myself to you versus if you came in and you wanted to pray for me and you actually cared about me, well, then I care about you. And so that changed. There's a number of groups down there now that approach it that way, and I do think they have more influence.
When you were in the state Senate, did the Christians get together, the legislators, and pray?
Yeah, we had different groups had different Bible studies that we would get together. Certainly in the beginning part of my Senate career, it was both sides of the aisle. When I became leader, it was a little harder for me to get engaged just because of my role. It was hard to mix the two, but definitely believers get together. There's prayer groups that come down there on a weekly basis.
Wonderful.
To pray for people. And then different groups, like I mentioned, will go from legislator to legislator. How can I pray for you?
Okay. And do you know the answer to this? Given all the unrest in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and the high taxes, and our moral positions on issues, are people leaving our state?
Yeah, and wealth is leaving our state, just like California, but a little less, or New York. And the more we go down that issue of higher taxes, not really respecting the family, parents, and their role in education, and we talked about the transgender surgeries for young kids. Each one of those things is affecting an individual, and they're going to say, I'm gone. And so mm-hmm. we talked ahead of time. I almost moved to Florida, but I decided not to, but I still go down there.
And to me, the biggest deal is God is watching America. Are we going to continue to kill so many children in the womb? Are we going to continue to promote sex change operations for children in Minnesota? Other states have banned it. We've made it a right in our state. So, I mean, I know this is your opinion, but do you think America's going to turn around?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
That's where I'm at.
You know, a prior president won, and I won't even say which one it was, and I just felt like, you know, I just felt so down because it was like, you know, it just broke my heart because I knew what he was standing for. But I really felt like the Lord impressed upon me, you know, the kingdom of God is always advancing. We want America to advance with the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. But it's our choice as a people. I hope we choose to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's it. And, you know, like I said, with the death of Charlie Kirk in particular, I watched the memorial on the Sunday after that event, and there was many people, public figures, declaring their faith in Jesus. And that was unusual for me to see, and so many do that.
Catholic Marco Rubio preached the gospel
salvation
just like
message.
I do.
I agree.
Salvation by the death of Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, I was proud of that guy.
Yeah, and even J.D. Vance said, look, I haven't talked about faith. I've talked more about faith in the last 2 weeks than my entire life.
Is that what he said?
And so if it's awakening people, if events, whether they're tragic or mountaintop experiences that God wants to use to influence us, that's what I'm praying for.
Well, listen, everybody, Paul has written a couple books. And if you'd like to go to Amazon and you type in Behind the Veil, Paul Gazelka, G-A-Z-L-K-A, Behind the Veil of What's Happened in Politics. And is this Minnesota or the country?
Well, it's Minnesota. There's a chapter on Trump, but it really is about being a kingdom person in government.
Okay. You know,
so I have many stories that just happened to be written just before Tim Walz became the VP candidate.
Okay.
So suddenly it became a bestseller.
Second book is called Marketplace Ministers. What's this one about?
This is about learning to walk with Jesus in whatever realm you're in. So if it's business, medicine, education, what does it look like when somebody says, Lord, what do you want me to do in this arena?
Okay.
That's what it's
so
about.
So if you're looking to read a book on should Christians be involved in government, Marketplace Ministers by Paul Gazelka or Behind the Veil. But I want to say thanks so much, Paul, for being here. And everybody, we need to say a prayer. Do you mind just bowing your head and closing your eyes? And let's just pray for America. Lord God, we pray for Minnesota, for California, for New York, for Illinois, New Jersey. We pray for New York. We pray for Colorado, just and all across the country, Lord, that you would send this revival that we've been talking about. Because, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. So we pray, Lord, that many people would turn to the Scriptures, start reading the Bible. God, we can't do this, but we ask you, would you turn America around and bring many people to saving faith in Christ? And, Lord, we would pray that you would just use each one of us that are praying right now to somehow make a difference for Christ. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time at the Pastor Study. Go to pastorstudy.org if you want to watch this program again. And if you want to support us, we'd appreciate that too. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.